Albert Einstein lived in Berlin during the time when Hitler was making his rise to power. Albert heard the lies in Hitler's propaganda. He saw his friends become his enemies, and how anyone who resisted Hitler or Albert's Jewish friends were beaten openly on the streets of Berlin. Influential Jewish citizens disappeared in the dead of night. Albert and his wife finally fled to America to escape what Germany had become. In 1940, they became citizens of the United States. They took their oath of citizenship. Was it hard or easy for Albert to raise his right hand and take that vow that he would renounce his allegiance to Germany and pledge to support the Constitution and all the laws of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic? He promised at that moment that his life would conform to being a citizen of the United States. I wonder what Albert Einstein would think about our America today. Are we still the land of the brave and the free? Or have we become more like Nazi Germany? If the people of our land and the leaders of our nation no longer live a life worthy of being citizens, not worthy of the founding truths, the freedoms that we enjoy, and the responsibilities that are placed on every citizen, well, then our nation will fall into anarchy. If everyone creates for themselves their own definition of what it means to be an American, then we will drown in an ocean of lawlessness. Satan has convinced Americans that we are not only our own governor, we are our own God. The angels of heaven cry when they see Christians caught up in this swirl and in the undertow of our nation's evil, living lives of immorality, greed and debauchery, hating and wicked and scratching and clawing to get ahead, just as the world does. God, through his servant, the Apostle Paul, spoke to these new Christians of Ephesus. He had called them out of the darkness of worshiping Zeus and Hermes and Aphrodite. He had called them into the light right at the most wicked time in the Roman Empire. Why? They could be put to death simply for being Christians. What did he say to them? Did he tell them, well, keep your head down and just hold on until things start to get better? No. God told him just the opposite. Live a life worthy of the calling you have received. The darkness of the Roman Empire was merely a backdrop for God's brilliant light shining out through these Christians into all of Ephesus. Today, we Christians are not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil by good. During the storm of the last election and pandemic, have we risen above the fight and brought glory to the name of God? Or have we been just as foul and nasty as all those people we say are wrong in their thinking? It is hard to see clearly when there's a plank in our eye. God tells us in these wicked days, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. How? How do we have the power to live God's calling and not to be sucked in by the calling of this world all around us? How will our lives then be different from the world's? We may have thought, or we might not have thought, that we are to live up to a righteous standard, to live in keeping with the grace that has been bestowed upon us. The power, however, to live this God-pleasing life is not found within us. No, just as it took power from outside of us to wash us clean in Jesus' blood, and power outside of us to create faith in us where there was no faith, so it is the power of God's gospel message that strengthens us to live our faith, to live as the children of God. God sent His Son into the world to win salvation. Then He poured out His Word into this wicked world. God has also provided apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to proclaim this all-powerful Word. Our ability to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received, to live as the children of God, is directly dependent on how well we feed our souls in God's Word, in worship services, in Bible classes, in Sunday school, in Lutheran elementary schools, high schools, and colleges, and in our home devotions. We must be in God's Word for God's Word to be in us. That is why Satan tries to sow seeds of apathy in our hearts so that we just don't care. Oh, Heavenly Father, give us a holy hunger that will not be satisfied until we are filled with Your divine Word. What will happen to us if we truly do fill our hearts with God's Word? Paul says, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Whew. Unity in the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, mature. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Does that not sound like a grand life? Are we shriveling tomato plants in the scorching heat of a barren wasteland? We need to set down our roots next to the living water so that our leaves never wither, so that we will bear much fruit to the glory of God. While this world is falling apart, we will grow stronger and stronger and more beautiful with each day. Paul goes on. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the winds and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. The storms of lies and hatred are tearing this world apart. Are we being tossed back and forth like a ship in a storm? By politicians or media? By rioters? Or people on the street? Or the people next door? In the middle of every wind of teaching and deceitful scheming, we may be caught up in a lie. In that lie that, if I think it, it must be true. Since when? Truth is found in God's Word. Only when God's Word is our truth are we able to speak the truth in love. The truth spoken in love is rarer than diamonds and is a precious gift to this world. When God's truth and love are in our hearts and on our tongues, then in all things we will grow up into Him who is our head, Christ. In this world of lies, now is the time for us to grow up in God's truth, in our faith. Then our anchor will hold us sure to the rock of salvation, and nothing will move us. If God were to send another global flood and destroy all the people and animals of this world, would we be the modern-day Noahs, living righteous lives in a wicked world? If we are living a life worthy of the calling we have received, how then will our lives be different than the world's? Well, Paul writes, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Let's pretend for a second that in this Ephesian congregation there were brothers. We'll call them Titus and Festus. They were both hard-working and hard-charging businessmen. Oh, no one got in their way. Woo. But then Titus came to faith in Jesus. His brother Festus noticed a dramatic personality change. Titus became completely humble, gentle, patient, and loving. In our nation, citizens think it is a good idea to storm the nation's capital, to riot and burn down Seattle, to shoot up their neighborhoods, and to slander on Facebook anyone who happens to disagree with them. See what arrogance, hatred, and violence have done to our nation? God wants to completely transform our personalities. He wants us to be completely humble, gentle, patient, and bearing with one another in love. His gospel of love and forgiveness empowers us to go against our natural instincts and to actually forgive and love those who have hurt us and hurt our nation. Remember, Jesus said, they will know you're my disciples by how you love one another. Paul goes on, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of our Lord of all, who is over all and through all and in all. It must have been very shocking for Titus and those Christians of Ephesus All their lives they had been taught that there were thousands of gods and spirits, temples and supernatural powers. When they came to faith, they realized that there was only one God. All the rest were fakes. There is one body, one spirit, one Lord, one God and Father of all, one faith, hope, and baptism. Paul called for them to cherish and protect this unity that they had among them, that they had in the Holy Spirit. In this congregation of Ephesus, there was a wide variety of brothers and sisters, rich and poor, Jew and Gentile, male and female, free and slaves, but they were all one in Christ. The Holy One who unites us is stronger than the evil one who seeks to divide us. How different we will be as we stand united in truth, in faith, in love, in our Savior, while America is being ripped apart. A worthy life in God's eyes is one where we unite with brothers and sisters around the Lord's word and sacraments. That is pleasing and holy in His sight. Paul writes, from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As our fingers and toes and brain and spine and all the other parts make up one united body, so each of us are held together by Jesus in one body. We grow, mature into spiritual adulthood, and we become strong, beautiful, talented, and gifted in speaking God's truth in His love. We mature as each part does its work. Notice what God says there. Each part, each member of His body. Everyone who is a Christian is called to live a life worthy of the calling we have received from God, so that we build up the body of believers and not tear each other apart. We are a sharp tool in the hand of God when we are in His hands, sharpened by His word. God's people worship God. That's just what they do. We can't help but praising our Savior for all that He's done and given to us. God calls us to study His word and to lead others to the water of life. God calls for us to pray without ceasing for each other and for our nation. He calls for us to bear one another's burdens and encourage each other, just as a family does. To be a light of salvation in this dark and wicked world, the salt of the earth. Who has God put in our lives who needs to hear about Jesus' death and resurrection and forgiveness? What an opportunity. To whom could we bring a blessing to this very day? Let the voice of God's people be heard far and wide. We are Jesus' brothers and sisters, purchased with His blood. Let the goal of our lives be that the world sees our Savior by how we live a life worthy of the calling we have received. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all grace and glory, guide us ever onward. May we live for you and you alone. You who have redeemed us and called us by name and prepared a paradise awaiting us, so may we see each day through your eyes the opportunities to give you thanks and praise and to let our light shine into this dark world, now and forever, to your glory. Amen.